Now, Colin came up and told me right before the service, he said, "Now, we're doing two songs back to back and then your own." I didn't know what in the world he was talking about. I got you now, Colin. I got it. Miss Virginia, you ever heard those songs before? Those songs we sang before? That brought back some old memories. I'm going to tell you, when I first went to Calvary Baptist in Rock Hill, my home church, and I wish I could just transport y'all there just to see it, because, I mean, it'd help you to understand who I am. I mean, I know who y'all are, but, I mean, y'all could see where, you know, I came from spiritually. Amy's granddaddy was the preacher, and it was pretty quiet. You would hear, you know, some people, but at some point, we got a new music director, and it didn't have anything to do with the music director, but people started coming when Amy's grandfather retired and the new music director. I mean, it was just new. And at some point, when we would sing songs like this, Brother Frank, I mean, we'd always sung them before, and they were always good songs, and they always stirred our hearts, but something happened. I'm not sure who it was, but somebody who started coming, when they'd start playing, this one person would stand up, and he would do this right here. And it wasn't long, man. Everybody in the church was standing up, and we weren't just singing. Boy, I'm so happy. I mean, it was just full on. I mean, I wish y'all could just. And that was good stuff. I mean, the Gaithers. We're gonna go home and watch the Gaithers tonight. All right. You want to come over, Sharon?
Yes.
We got some taco soup and some potatoes. No, I'm just kidding. Turn your Bibles with me. So do you? That's crazy. Oh, yeah, I think Karen put a potato on the back of my truck. I'm just, huh? Okay. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Last week, as we continued our study of 2 Peter, we listened as Peter spoke more on what we should be looking for concerning false teachers. Peter is very concerned that these teachers will infiltrate the church and cause great harm. And we saw his words grow in intensity last week. Peter warned that these people were like springs with no water, in a mist driven by a whirlwind, meaning that they could have been useful in representing the Lord, but because they were not, they did not represent the Lord, they were useless and could cause more untold damage to the church. We learned that these false teachers, words and actions were useless, and a person who would come to them for answers would leave just as empty as they came. Finally, we learned that these false teachers would always return to what they truly were. The only thing that they could give is what they were. They were arrogant and greedy. Desi, is that you?
Desi.
Goodness gracious. Why are you so red? Benji, control your mama. How many times did she have to get on you in church when you were a kid? Oh, my gosh. Goodness gracious. Tonight, Peter will speak on the day of the Lord. So let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3. Desi, you're red. Look how red Desi is, y'all. He says this. Dear friends, this is now the second letter I've written you. In both, I awaken your pure understanding with a reminder, so that you can remember the words previously spoken by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior given through your apostles. First, be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last day to scoff following their own lusts, saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have been since the beginning of all creation." They willfully ignore this. Long ago, the heavens and the earth existed out of water and through water by the word of God. Through these, the world of that time perished when it was flooded by water. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are held in store for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Dear friends,
Don't let this one thing escape you. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for forgiveness of our sins. We pray that you would be with us now as we open your word. Lord, I pray that you would enlighten our hearts and our minds that we might be greater servants for you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. As we again come to understand that these are Peter's last words, why is it that we are hearing what we're hearing tonight? Warren Wiersbe says this about the words Peter spoke tonight. He says, Peter has dealt with the character and conduct of believers in chapter 2, and now he's dealing with more false teachings. Peter affirmed the certainty of Christ's coming in glory, a truth that apostates questioned and denied. In fact, they were scoffing at the very idea of the return of the Lord and the judgment of the Lord and the establishment of the glories of kingdom. How important is it for God's people to understand God's truth? How important is it? Yeah, it's very important that God's people understand God's truth. Wiersbe says that Peter admonishes his readers to understand three very important facts about God and the promise of Christ coming in our scripture tonight. I cannot drive it home hard enough. When in the future, when you turn to 2 Peter, you need to write at the very beginning of 2 Peter, study the Word of God. Because that's when we as Christians fall prey so easily, when we don't know the answers. I mean, think with me here for a second. Just for a second. Let's say that you're doing your normal daily routine. You are a Christian acting like a Christian in a lost world. And somebody who is going through something in their life, they see something different in you, which is Jesus Christ himself, and they come and say, you know, what is it that's different about you? And that opens a door of opportunity for you to be able to share your faith with them. Amen? And as you're telling them about your relationship with the Lord, that's what's different about you. And they start giving you, okay, well, why do you believe Jesus is Lord? Why would a God, a holy and a righteous God, destroy people the way he did in the Old Testament? Why do you Christians say that Jesus doesn't accept homosexuality? Why do you Christians keep saying that Jesus is coming when he's not? And that's one of the things he's dealing with. Those are things that we need to be able to answer. What happens when we can't? What happens? What does that make us look like? Oh, you're a Christian and you don't know? No, I mean, I'm going to tell you, I don't know the answers to everything. I don't. But there are some things we ought to be able to defend through Scripture, through our time in the Bible, amen? And that's what 2 Peter is all about. We need to be able to defend what we believe. We do. So what does our Scripture say tonight? We first see a reminder in verse 1. Peter says that this is the second time that I've written to you. So we know that Peter has made contact with these people in times past, somehow, some way, or they have received a letter. Most scholars believe that it's more than likely 1 Peter. Peter either wrote them a letter, which was 1 Peter, or they had received the letter of 1 Peter themselves. Scholars also believe that many who were hearing Peter's last words may have seen, but definitely heard the teachings of the gospel as well as Paul's writings by this time in the period that he's writing this letter. So Peter is writing to guess who? True believers. He is writing to true believers. The point Philip says is Peter is particularly concerned about presenting thought-provoking teachings to the people whose minds were still uncontaminated by heretical thinkings. That should be the church. Our minds should not be contaminated. Well, how do we keep them from being uncontaminated? How? By being in the Word of God, being able to answer those questions. Really, there is little left for Peter to do but remind believers of the monumental truths that had already been taught to them. Now, the first fact that Peter wants believers to remember is that God's Word is true. And that's seen in verses 1b and 2. Look at 1b. 1b says this, I awaken your pure understanding with a reminder so that you can remember the words previously spoken by the holy prophets. What is he referring to there? What would we say in our day? I can show you that God is real by looking at what? The Old Testament. The Old Testament. And the commandment of the Lord and Savior given through your apostles. What would we point to instead of that? The New Testament. I can show you, this is what we would say, I can show you with the complete written Word of God, the Old Testament and the New Testament. I can even show you the validity of God and the 400 years of silence in between the two Testaments that proves that God is God. And we ought to, shouldn't we? We really should. So there's little left for Peter to say. The first fact that Peter wants believers to believe is that God is true. Church, this sounds like such an easy concept to understand, but it is one that has been under constant attack since the beginning of man's time. The simplest of spiritual concepts has been denied by fallen man as a way to ease their conscience towards sin in their lives. The easiest way to clear your conscience, to do what you want to do and live the way that you want to live apart from God, is to deny that the Word of God is the Word of God. Right? Well, you know, I want to live like this. Well, the Word of God is not the Word of God. That's the easiest way for me to live that way. You know, I understand that you're worried about me, but you're worried about me because of fairy tale, a book of fables. That's what they call it. It's sad, but it's true. We as believers must not doubt one stroke of pen, not one period, not one comma. I've told y'all in times past, and I'm going to tell you again, I believe everything in this Bible, from the table of contacts to the table of contents to the maps at the back of the Bible. I believe it all. Every bit of it, I believe. We falter when we can't answer questions, and we falter when we show, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, and maybe that's so. Maybe God didn't mean that when he said that. Church, if the Word of God says God said it, God meant it. He did. And I know it hurts feelings. It hurts my feelings. And to be honest with you, if you can read the Word of God and it doesn't hurt your feelings, I'm kind of worried about you. I really am. Moving on, we all know, we could agree, that the first fact that Peter presents to us tonight is a very simple one. But Warren Wiersbe says the church needs to be aroused regularly, lest the enemy find us asleep and take advantage of our spiritual lethargy. Remember what the writer of the book of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He said this. He says, "For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of the soul and spirit's joints and marrows. It is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart." What's Peter wanting us to do? As true believers, as he's writing this to true believers, what is it that he's wanting to jog? What is he wanting them to do? Remember. 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 Church, if we forget, we're in trouble. We're going to be in trouble if we forget everything that was written to us. 66 love letters from the Lord God Almighty to us individually. We then see Peter reminds these believers to be aware of scoffers seen in verse 3 and 4. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says this, First, be aware of this. Scoffers will come in the last days to scoff. Any of y'all heard any of this scoffing? Oh, yeah. Yeah. About the only way you can't hear the scoffing is if you're not engaged in the battle, if you're not trying to talk to people about the Lord. When I try and talk to people about the Lord sometimes, this is all they say, Stan. And they just turn around and walk away. That's a scoffer. He says, following their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they have since the beginning of creation. Now, we have to do something. We have to go back to the first verses we just looked at to be able to defend ourselves against the people Peter is talking about in verse 3 and 4. How is it that we can stand toe-to-toe with people who say stuff like this when they scoff about the coming of Jesus? How do we stand toe-to-toe with them? What do we say to them? How can we say anything to them? It's easy. By knowing the Word of God is the Word of the living God, and it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We can't deny it. If we deny one thing, we have to deny it all. If one thing is not true, it's all untrue. Now, what can we point to when people scoff of Jesus' return? I'm going to give you some actual things. What can we as Christians point to as we understand that they're going to scoff? It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When they scoff, what is it that we can point to actually help them understand? Well, Matthew 24, 36 says this, but the concerning the day and the hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. You may scoff at God because you cannot see Him with your carnal eyes, but Romans chapter 1, verse 20 says, God reveals Himself every single day. Unless we as believers know Scripture, we will not be able to defend ourselves. And more importantly, we can't defend the Lord's coming at all. This is what we do. And this is bad. This is what Christians do. I don't know, but I believe it. Well, that's great. You're supposed to believe it. I can't give you the answers, but it's what I believe. That even furthers what they believe. How can you call yourself a Christian and you can't even tell me how to be a Christian? You can't even tell me why you believe what you believe. Does that make sense to you at all? That's like looking at a child and asking them this question, Stan. Do you have a mom? Well, yeah, I have a mom. Do you have a dad? Yeah, I have a dad. And I'm talking not a one-year-old or a two-year-old. I'm talking about like a five-year-old or a seven-year-old. Do you love your mom? Yeah, my daddy's a good, my mama, she cooks all kind of stuff for me. My daddy takes me fishing and took me to the movie. My parents love me. Well, what's his name? What's your daddy's name? Well, daddy. I mean, listen, I know who my daddy is. I love him. I know who my mom, I love him. How can we as Christians say that we love God? Listen, I know that it's real because the Bible tells me so, but you can't tell people where it says what in the Bible. Does that make sense to y'all? It really doesn't. It's sad. And Peter's calling these believers out tonight. Let's see. Did I miss anything? Okay. The second fact that Peter presents to his readers tonight is God's work is consistent. Now, the first thing was God's word is real. The second is God's word is consistent. Look at verses 5 through 7. Verse 5 says this, they willingly ignore this. Long ago, the heavens and the earth existed out of water, through water, by the word of God. Through these, the world of that time perished when it was flooded by the water. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth are held in store for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. Now, church, I'm going to be honest with you. These verses can and may be hard to understand as we try to make them understandable from verses 1 through 4. If we look at verse 1 through 4 and try to understand what we just read through 5 through 7, it can be kind of hard. Warren Wiersbe says this about verses 5 through 7. All Peter did was remind them of what God had done in the past and thus prove that his work is consistent throughout all ages. Peter simply presented evidence that the false teachers deliberately ignored. It's amazing how so-called thinkers, that's what people call them today, so-called thinkers. Well, what are you talking about, a so-called thinker? Scientists, liberal theologians, and philosophers. It's amazing how these so-called thinkers will be selective in their thinking and deliberately refuse to consider scriptural data. This is the day that we're living in as well, Wiersbe says. Proverbs 16:2 says, "All man's ways seem right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs his motives." I want you to understand something. Every person who has ever been alive, especially in America, has had a lifetime to pick up the Word of God, read it, be pricked by the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit, and understand the Word of God. You mean to tell me, listen, you really mean to tell me that a boy who never did good in school, a boy that barely passed school, a boy who had to take the ninth grade twice, a boy who, listen, he graduated high school not on what he did, but what he copied from everybody else. A boy like that, who is not book smart at all, can understand the Word of God, and God can make him a preacher? And yes, I'm talking about your preacher. You mean to tell me that I can understand the Word of God? I can understand how it all folds perfectly together. Stanley, how the Old Testament and the New Testament are glued together as one. How beautiful and how can I understand this? And a scientist who has spent, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 years past high school with college master's work and doctorate, he can't? That doesn't make sense, does it? You do what you want to do. If you want to understand something some way, and this is what Peter's saying, you're going to. So many times when I've talked to people about the Lord, I've had to end it with this: I'll be praying for you. And a lot of times that's all you can do. But this is what I tell him in the end. I'm going to pray for you the same thing I prayed for myself, that God would open your eyes through his creation every single day when you walk out those doors. It's inexplainable, and the only way you can explain it is God. The last fact that Peter wants these believers to always remember is that God's will is merciful. God's will is merciful. Look at verse 8. Peter says, "Dear friends, don't let this one thing escape you. With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance." Wiersbe says this about verse 8 and 9. "Since 1,000 years," Miss Desi, you're not going to like this. "Since 1,000 years are as one day to the Lord, we cannot accuse him of delayed fulfillment of his promise. In God's sight, the whole universe is only a few days old." It's only a few days old. Think with me. A lot of creationists, and I'm just saying this, you know, they believe that the earth is between 5 and 8,000 years old. Okay? Now you put that in perspective of what Peter just said. In the Lord's thought process, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. Let's say the earth's 10,000 years old. How many days is that in the Lord's sight? 10. And I was thinking just a little bit ago when I was sitting at home, it seemed like just a couple seconds that we were at Culver's last Sunday night eating dinner, and here we are, the weekend's gone, wedding's over, and we're back at church on Sunday night. I mean, that was 7 days for us. But that wasn't even 7 seconds for the Lord. That's amazing. But somebody want to explain that to me? But that's God. That's God. He is not limited, church, in time as we are, nor does He measure time by man's standards. When you study the works of God, especially in the Old Testament, you can see that He is never in a hurry and He's never late. He's never in a hurry, church, and He's never late. So what can we learn from tonight's lessons? Number one, God's still God. God's still God. Nothing has or ever will happen to change who God is. Nothing. It doesn't matter what somebody believes or somebody tries to tell you or somebody tries to convince you about God. God is still God. Church, God's word is true. And it should be in each one of the word of God should be in each one of us. God is not late in His promise of return. We must be patient and extend mercy to others as He has extended mercy to us. Lastly, remember what Peter has written, that we may be able to give answer to those who will scoff at God's return. That's important now in the days. I mean, the past year and a half, I have seen more people talk about God's return. God's return. I'll remember like it was yesterday when Amy's grandfather was our preacher. We had kind of an anomaly. It was crazy. It was like June. And I don't know if y'all experienced it as much down here, but it was June. It had already gotten hot. Flowers had already come up. People had already planted their garden. It was like June, the first week in June, and it dropped in the 30s. And they were asking Him, is this a sign? Is this a sign? Is this a sign of God's coming? Have y'all been paying attention the last 2 years? I mean, it's all over the place. People are asking, you know, is what we're seeing part of the tribulation? There are pastors who believe that we are living in the tribulation right now. And I'm thinking, really? I mean, Justin, you studying the same Bible I'm studying? It's going to get worse. It's going to get so much worse. And we have to be persistent. We have to keep our heads high and our noses to the grindstone. Because as it gets worse, people are going to start asking more questions. And we need to be able to answer them. Amen? I mean, it's great if you don't know an answer. I tell you all this all the time. If you don't know an answer, I might know it. Pick up the phone, call me. I might be able to help you. But listen, there's a chance that you call and I'm not going to be able to answer. Learn. Now is your time. Learn. Be able to answer the questions. Amen? Let's all stand. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for Peter. We thank You, Lord, that in his last days, when he knew it was his last days, he felt the prick of the Holy Spirit to write these words down, to encourage us to be all that we could be. Lord, it hurts some, but God, help it to encourage us to be more than what we are today. Help us to understand that we don't know it all and we need to learn more, myself included, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?